Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Eerie House Radio. It is Halloween Eve. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show here along with...
Caught me off guard. I thought you were going to do a poem. Dave Bickley from Weirdest Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And I'm here along with...
Greetings and felicitations, CW here to celebrate the thinning of the veil with you all.
Ooh. And okay. We are doing our annual look at War of the Worlds and yet another brand new version. New to our show.
Absolutely, yeah. This is our fifth year at Halloween, and this is our fifth different version. I was trying to go through the versions the other day, and I found out that, the version one was the way that that it was presented by Orson Welles. Version of the second year, it was the way that everybody really heard it, by flipping on the number one program of that year, which was the Chase and Sandborg Hour with Charlie McCarthy. And then when Nelson Eddy went to sing a song, we went over to the Channel 2 at the same spot where it would have been in the War of the Worlds. Then year three, we did the Lux Radio Theater adaption of the 54 War of the Worlds movie. And then last year we did the television audio soundtrack of the Night That Panicked America. And so back to a radio version here tonight from Buffalo, New York, Big WKBW from 1973.
I believe they started their tradition in 68. I had misprinted in our ads that we had a 1968 version, but I believe that Buffalo station did it multiple times, actually. Now, whether they
kept rebroadcasting
the same one or they kept redoing
I don't know. No, because the songs in here would have been from 71, 72, and possibly 73.
Good. Okay. A poem, you say? Night
A poem, I said.
Night of Fright by Jasmine. Monsters stalking through the night. Halloween is the night of fright. Fear is what this night brings, along with many other things. Are you sure you are prepared? Tonight is not for the easily scared. Creatures from hell roam on this night, for tonight is the night of fright. Trick or treat, you say. You should not have waited until the end of the day. Tonight you will lose your tricks and treats, for the monsters need to eat. You better not take this night lightly, or else you will learn what true fright means. In ancient times, people feared this night, the night they greeted with fright. Why they were so scared, you will soon see on this All Hallows Eve. Thank you, Jasmine. I just curtsied in case anybody cares.
Outstanding!
Well, just don't lift your skirt too high. Don't lift that skirt too high, Dale, I don't want to see it. I know in Scotland they call it a kilt, but it's a skirt. It's a skirt.
Yeah, I haven't shaved. Anyway, we do have this version from Buffalo. Did you like my little ad that I made there with the Buffalo newspaper there?
I did. You know what? When I was there in Buffalo, we still had two newspapers, the Buffalo Evening News, which actually was the more popular, but there was a morning newspaper. I forget the name of it because my dad subscribed to the Buffalo Evening News. But eventually the Buffalo Evening News went away because everybody wanted their, people wanted their papers to take with them to work and things like that. And like the Plain Dealer and the Cleveland Press here in Cleveland, the later one kind of lost its footing and the early one forged ahead.
Yeah, again, it's funny how the newspaper business changed in our lifetime, huh, Dave?
Yeah, absolutely. For me, you want to get the news early, but you could get it from the radio or you could get it from your local television. You can't do that now. But now, it's all been morning papers, and now they have cutoff time most places about 5 p.m. So if you like sports, you have to go to the internet to find out what the heck is going on, because everything is 2 days late in the paper. They don't even send your local reporters to cover the local games anymore because it's 2 days late by the time it appears in the, or a day, at least a day late before it appears in the paper.
That's a shame. They used to crank that stuff out the next morning, man. They the night games, they would have them covered back when I was a kid.
Sometimes if a game ran until midnight and it was an important game, it would be in the paper.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it's not that way anymore.
Yeah, sometimes you miss some of the West Coast scores out here. But, yeah, if it was an important game, like you said, Dave, they would make sure that some reporter was up to record what happened in that particular
game. And I know the Beacon had several editions. They called them different stars, like one star, two star, three star, and four star. Four star was the latest edition. One star came out about 2 a.m. And so it was interesting just, you know, you could actually see different things on the front cover even sometimes from the one star to the four star. But
okay.
Anyway, we're not here about newspapers.
I have a pertinent question for tonight. How were you first exposed? And I pose this to both of you, ladies first. How were you first exposed to War of the Worlds? What was the first rendition, or what was your first experience with War of the Worlds?
My first experience War of the Worlds was actually, I hope you're sitting down.
Yes.
A book.
H.G. Wells.
Yes, Herbert George Wells, that is.
Yep. Okay. Now, I read it very early on, but I want to say my first exposure to the story was in the 1953 movie, seeing that on TV, inspired me to go get the book, actually, and read it at a very young age. I was probably maybe 10. I don't know, something like that.
No, I had to read it because I didn't have any choice in the matter. It was supposed to be to make me a well-rounded person. Quite frankly, and I hope, HG, if you're listening, don't take this the wrong way, that style of writing, him, Jules Verne, Bram Stoker, the stories are outstanding, but their writing style was perpetually boring as watching paint dry.
What made me well-rounded was donuts. Very well-rounded.
But no, I mean, the movie War of the Worlds, now that made me really appreciate what I was forced to read as a child. But I really couldn't read those books. So what I did was I just told the teacher after that experience, I read them. But then I went and saw the movies. I got the movies. I got all of the movies, and I watched them and watched them and watched them. And what the movies had condensed or left out lowered my grade a little bit, but it worked.
How about you, Dave? What was your first experience with War of the Worlds?
I think one of my junior high school English teachers played the record of Orson Welles' broadcast. I think that was probably my first experience with it.
I
would have to say my wife's experience would be like CW's off the movie first.
Yeah, I was exposed very early to the 1953, fell in love with it. You know, anything George Pal was pretty good. His version of the Time Machine, Destination Moon, and others. Again, that propelled me right away to want to read the book. And that was my only safe haven for science fiction, because my parents hated the fact that I liked comic books and monster movies and science fiction movies. So I figured, all right, well, they can't say nothing about a novel. So I snapped up the Jules Verne, the Pierre Boulle, H.G. Wells, a little bit of Edgar Allan, things like that. They couldn't say too much about because it was a book.
Lovecraft. Oh, if they only knew what Cthulhu was doing.
I am painfully underread with Lovecraft. and that'll be the beauty of retiring. All the stuff that I've never done that I shoulda, that'll be on the list. Is reading some Lovecraft. I look forward to it. But not as much as I look forward to our broadcast tonight. I've been anxious to hear this. Number one, it's War of the Worlds. But number two, the period that this takes place and that we get to enjoy from 1973.
Yeah, now, I do want to put on this disclaimer before everybody runs off to complain. This is of that era, and they used as being modernized, much like Orson Welles used an orchestra radio program. They used the actual music of the day. So some of this music that's in there is in there because for historical reference of their broadcast.
So that's right. And we're not making any money off of this broadcast yet.
Right, right. Believe Dale, we're not.
Yeah, no, we're not. Quite the opposite. But it's worth everything.
So I just want to put a kind of a disclaimer in there. It's nothing dirty or anything. It's just that, you know, there's some music out there of that day. And
yeah.
Also put in a couple commercials that were local to them, even a McDonald's commercial that was, I think, maybe localized towards them. So a lot of fun coming up.
All right. Maybe we'll get some buffalo wings, too. We got six parts, so we ought to get started here with War of the Worlds from... What is it, WKBW?
Big KBW, KBW.
All right. And it's from, well, October of 1973.
There you go.
What you are listening to is a dramatization of H.G. Wells' classic story, The War of the Worlds. The events are fictional. You are listening to a dramatization of H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds. On WKBW Radio 1520, Buffalo, New York. We now rejoin our story.
The White House says a crucial presidential conversation with former campaign manager John Mitchell was made on a phone extension not hooked up to recording equipment, so no tapes of the conversation exist. A White House spokesman says a second Watergate tape the president agreed to turn over to the courts, one of a conversation between Nixon and former White House counsel John Dean, was never made because the system had run out of tape, and an alternate wasn't activated until a day later. Israeli Prime Minister Golda Meir arrived in Washington today for consultations tomorrow with President Nixon and Secretary of State Henry Kissinger on the Mideast situation. All parts of the petroleum industry will be allowed to hike its prices tomorrow in line with increased costs in accordance with new regulations announced today by the Cost of Living Council. And finally, sky watchers at the Mount Palomar Observatory in California report that explosions have been seen on the face of the planet Mars. The explosions, believed to be of hydrogen bomb force, constitute no threat to the planet Earth, according to the observers. Mars, the planet of war, is at its closest point to Earth at this time.
Now the KB15 AccuWeather. Overcast with periods of rain tonight, continuing into tomorrow morning, and some of the rain may be briefly heavy. The low tonight, 48. Windy and turning colder tomorrow, with temperatures falling through the 40s. Then variable cloudiness, windy and cold tomorrow night, the low 37. For Friday, becoming mostly cloudy, breezy, and chilly, with a chance of a period of rain, possibly mixed with wet snow, late in the day or at night. Friday's high, 44. For AccuWeather, this is meteorologist Richan Somo.
50 degrees in Buffalo, I'm Ron Baskin, KB Radio News.
Shane on KB15, your great American music machine.
Give it, keep on trucking!
Keep on trucking!
Thank you.
Raskin was talking about?
Huh?
Explosions on Mars? You know how interested I am in spatial phenomena. Dynamite. Well, we'll keep you abreast of all pertinent situations. I'll be back in a moment with the music of today.
Night. Halloween, the night you are being called by the Great Spirit. The spirits of hard cider, the spirits of sangria, the spirits of all the wine you can drink at the library and the woodshed. Hear the call of these spirits. Heed the call of the spirits tonight, Halloween, when the Great Spirits warm up all the little pumpkins of Buffalo and attract them irresistibly to the library and the woodshed, where all you can drink for the entire spirit-filled night only sets you back $3.50 for guys and $2.50 for girls. And it only happens once a year, Halloween, at two places, the library on Bailey Avenue and the woodshed under the packet in the North Tonawanda, where you can booze it up with the greatest Great Spirit, hard cider, sangria, or all the wine you can drink. $3.50 for guys and $2.50 for gals. Music in both places. Spirits in both places. Pumpkins in both places. The library and the woodshed.
What you are listening to is a dramatization. A dramatization of H.G. Wells' classic story, The War of the Worlds. The events are fictional. You are listening to a dramatization of H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds. On WKBW Radio 1520, Buffalo, New York. We now rejoin our story.
Nothing but good time music rocking in the nighttime from KB 15, your great American music machine. Let's rock it now. Ladies and gentlemen, a little chick with some half-breed blood and a half-breed maids and a half-breed son and a music son of the nighttime face here.
My father married up your chair off me.
Music in the nighttime with freedom loving Bob McCray tonight at 10. Excuse me.
You want me to read that now? Ron Bonskin from the news department just handed me this to read to you. NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, has advised all of its tracking stations tonight to be on the alert for unusual communications difficulties. A spokesman for the agency referred to the explosions on the planet Mars and said that it was not known whether it would have the same effect that sunspots do normally on worldwide communications. The agency refused to comment on the origin or the nature of these explosions, stating only that they were under close scientific observation. Don't ask me, friends. I'm just a jock. But I'll be back in a moment.
Seymour Keyhole Fashion is the place for everything from corduroy to lace. Keyhole Fashion, University, and Sheridan Plazas can even make me look good. To cover my feet, they got socks up to size 17. For my legs, slacks, all styles, patterns, and colors. For my chest, Keyhole Fashion has shirts, long sleeves, short sleeve colors, patterns, check stripes, button-down collars, large pointed collars, ring around the collars. Keyhole Fashion also has a great assortment of sweaters and turtlenecks. Finally, for my head, the folks at Keyhole Fashion have just the thing. They gave me a paper bag. You can get one, too, and it's free with a purchase of anything from Keyhole Fashion. Besides the free paper bag, you'll get a 10% discount on your new clothes if you bring in the stub from any hockey, football, or basketball game. Seymour's a good sport. Stop by tomorrow, Keyhole Fashion's University in Sheridan Plaza.
Definitely a trip down memory lane, Dave. This is a nice find.
I'm telling you. And you know what? On this, we're really getting the authentic sound of AM radio back then. You know, FM really had a much fuller sound to it than AM, and it didn't bother me. But you get the feel of that because I guess I listen to more FM than AM now, and you hear that sound as almost a dead sound compared to the FM, and I don't it just adds back to the authenticity of what was going on, you know.
Well, when we were young, Dave, there wasn't a whole lot of FM stations. It was just breaking in.
And a lot of them that were there were public radio, and most of them played a lot of classic music.
You guys must have a better ear than I. I don't hear the difference, to be perfectly frank.
Well, what's Frank got to do with it?
Someone hit that guy with Count Gore DeVoe's chicken.
That's right. Just hit him,
but
whatever.
But the thing is, some of these streets and stuff, I know where they were, and there were three Tonawandas. There was Town of Tonawanda, North Tonawanda, and City of Tonawanda. That's around Buffalo. I lived in the Town of Tonawanda myself. But Buffalo isn't a whole, the city itself isn't in a sense that I realize a whole lot bigger than Akron is. It is bigger, but not a whole lot bigger. But when you add all the surrounding areas, it's bigger. But the city itself isn't really any bigger than what I think Akron, Ohio is. And we're only like the fifth largest city in Ohio even. So, you know, it's kind of showing the size, but yet we had all three networks, and we could also get the CBC television as well. And when we had when I first got there, we only had the one public station. They got one independent station that came in around 1970. But we didn't have an independent station before that. We only had the network stations that were
local.
Wow. Yeah.
You were able to get a Canadian station?
Yes, I was able to watch the Canadian the CBC radio, television from there. So yeah.
Wow. Did you ever see a thing called Prisoners of Gravity?
I did not. I did not.
It sounds like an interesting concept.
It does.
Yeah. It's on YouTube. That's where I discovered it, but it originated out of Canada. It's rather intriguing. They had a lot of great authors on there. They had Harlan Ellison and other
sci-fi writers. Well, he's dead now, so I can call him a sci-fi writer. He always hated being called a sci-fi writer. So just deal with it, Harlan, wherever you are. But anyway, yes, it's called Prisoners of Gravity.
Deal with it, dead
okay.
guy.
You know what? I'll have to look that up. It does sound interesting.
Yeah, we'll love you the way we want. Deal with it, dead guy. We love you. We respect you. But you're a sci-fi writer, so.
We've all been prisoners of gravity, though. The older
True.
We get, the more of a prisoner we are, right?
There is no gravity. The Earth sucks. As the Martians may soon find out, let's continue with War of the Worlds from Buffalo, WKBW in 1970 and 3.
This is WKBW at 1520 on your Buffalo dial. Ian Anderson and Jethro Tull are back with a new double LP, Living in the Past. Now on sale at all Twin Fair stores for only $5.57. Save $2.71 on Twin Fair's normal price of $7.27, reduced from the list price of $9.98. Celebrate the opening of the newest Twin Fair at Seneca Transit by getting the new Jethro Tull double LP, Living in the Past. Now on sale at all Twin Fair stores for $5.57. To the new Tull double LP Living in the Past, pick up on Caravanserai by Santana, the new Loggins and Messina, Cat Stevens, Seals and Crofts, and many more, just $2.99. 8-track tapes, just $3.99. The Elvis album, Burning Love, just $1.67 at Twin Fair. Jethro Tull, Living in the Past, $5.57, now at Twin Fair. Twin Fair, East Berry Street, Elmwood Avenue, Eggert Road, and Seneca Street. Twin Fair.
What you are listening to is a dramatization. A dramatization of H.G. Wells' classic story, The War of the Worlds. The events are fictional. You are listening to a dramatization of H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds on WKBW Radio 1520, Buffalo, New York. We now rejoin our story.
Everybody needs a little good time music, baby, with all the fighting and lying and cheating and crying and whining and dying. Don't you know somebody got to have a little need for a little good time music at a nighttime with Shane, Brother Shane, on All Hallows Night. With the spirits of life tonight, and I'm painting some pretty pictures of the sky from KB15, your great American music machine. It's Stevie Wonder, Harlow
People.
Just stop sleeping.
Thunder Rocket on KB15, your great American music machine, Shane Brother Shane, on Halloween night, 1973. Now, with a continuing news development, here's KB Newsman Ron Baskin.
Police on the town of Grand Island have requested aid from Buffalo firefighting officials to combat a series of fires that have erupted as the result of an explosion. Traffic on the Grand Island bridges has been halted to all except emergency vehicles responding to the call for assistance. All onlookers and motorists have been asked to stay clear of the area. Repeating, traffic on the Grand Island bridges has been halted except for emergency vehicles. All onlookers and motorists have been asked to stay clear of the area.
Halloween night. What are you going to say? What are you going to say? Somebody ought to tell me what's going on. Oh, well, at any rate, let us persevere. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome, please, in his latest hit performance from KB15, your great American music machine, big, bad, bold, body, bodacious, beautiful, bashy, beguiling, bombastic Bob Dylan.
Mom, take this bad job for me. I can't use it anymore. Getting dark, too dark to see. I feel I'm knocking on heaven's door.
Somebody take my burden down. That's nice. I've been asked by the news department to pass this along. They're really loaded down right now, and there were telephone calls and such, and they just don't have the time to answer all the telephone calls coming in from people who are concerned about what's happening out on Grand Island. Now, they're trying to find out, we're all trying to find out what's happening, and as soon as they do, we'll have it on the air. So please, please do not call the news department, because you just slow the whole process down, and the newsman can't do his job trying to get you the information on the story without that help, okay? Okay, thank you much.
KB15, your great American music machine.
Please again, do not call the radio station trying to talk to our news department. We'll get you the story as soon as we can. Painted ladies from KB15 rocking on Hallows Night. Yes!
I remember setting out just to see what I could see. Streetcars rolling by, an airplane flying high. They all meant nothing to me. No one ever looked my way or knew that I was there. I kept walking and the rain kept raining until all the streets were bare. Ooh, feeling fine, mama. Painted ladies and a bottle of wine, mama. Ooh, feeling good. chair, summer fair, swimming in the sea. I kept drinking, sinking, till there was nothing left of me.
You know, it's very seldom you'll ever hear me reach in on the radio and break over a record. But the events that are happening out on Grand Island appear to be of immense importance, and therefore here's Ron Baskin.
It's been reported that a large meteor has struck the ground on Grand Island along East River Road, setting off a series of fires and explosions. Several persons have been injured. As yet, there is no confirmed number of people injured or word as to any deaths. KB-15 newsmen are already on their way to the scene. Repeating, a large meteor has struck the ground along East River Road on Grand Island. We'll have a special report in a few minutes.
Apparently, this is a little more serious than anybody expected. I would advise you not to attempt to drive into the area. There's going to be a lot of people trying to get out there to see what's going on, and that's bad. Now, I'll advise you again if I can that traffic on the Grand Island bridges has been halted to all except emergency vehicles only. Sightseers, onlookers, motorists, and everybody except emergency vehicles have been stopped from crossing the bridges. KB-15 newsmen are on the way, and we'll have that information as soon as they get into position and can feed it back to us. And please, hold your phone calls to the newsroom. Let the guys in our news department do their job, and they'll get the information to you as soon as possible. Thank you.
Sathers is doing it again. Doing what? Cutting prices to record-breaking lows. Right now, every 8-track and cassette tapes in our huge stock is on sale for the lowest prices ever. Check out all 4 Sathers locations for a gigantic selection of 8-track and cassette tapes at incredibly low prices. Prices as low as $4.47. Pick up the latest by the Allman Brothers, the Grateful Dead, Marvin Gaye, Neil Young, Billy Preston, and hundreds more at rock-bottom prices. So rock on out to Sathers today. And while you're there, check out Sathers' gigantic stock of closeout specials, 8-track and cassette tapes by Dave Mason, Diana Ross, The Osmonds, 10 Years After, The James Gang, and hundreds of others for as little as $1.99. Head on over and dig on Sathers' incredible variety of tapes and dig on those incredible low prices, too. That's Sathers, where we've got the best for less. Shop Sathers at 998 Broadway, Boulevard Mall, the Seneca Mall, and Main Place Mall.
What you are listening to is a dramatization. A dramatization of H.G. Wells' classic story, The War of the Worlds. The events are fictional. You are listening to a dramatization of H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds on WKBW Radio 1520, Buffalo, New York. We now rejoin our story.
KB-15 and the Shane Show, and I advise you again, the traffic on the Grand Island bridges has been halted to all except emergency vehicles. And please, no phone calls to our newsmen. Let the guys in the newsroom do their job. We'll get the information to you as soon as possible. Solid gold. This is Billy Preston from KB-15. Please excuse the interruption again. Here with a continuing news development and information you need is KB Newsman Ron Baskin.
All available firefighting equipment has been called to Grand Island, and much of the apparatus has already arrived there. The cause of the alarm is reportedly a large meteor that has struck in the vicinity of East River Road on the island. Several persons have been injured, and some are believed dead, although we have no confirmation on that. Details are still rather sketchy. We expect to hear from KB Newsmen, who are already on their way to the scene.
Let me try that last one again. Yeah. This is the one I started on. Pardon me, folks. I'm a little shook up here. Stay tuned. Further developments continue on KB-15. We'll be right back. interrupts normal broadcasting to take you now to our newsman, Don Lancer, in a mobile cruiser on his way to Grand Island and continuing developments.
Now heading north on the South Grand Island Bridge. We're just past what has to be one of the largest areas of traffic congestion that I've seen in and around the Buffalo area or anywhere in western New York. Traffic coming off the Youngman Expressway is completely at a standstill. Traffic is now backing up on the thruway. This is heading toward the Grand Island Bridge. We've asked you to please stay away from the area. There have been fires and explosions on Grand Island. We're presently going across the bridge. There's one lane open to emergency traffic. This is firefighting apparatus, ambulances especially. Ambulances are needed on the island. We understand the casualty count may be higher than at first thought. A policeman we spoke to at the entrance to the bridge gave us that information. We're not exactly sure how many people have been killed or injured, but they're calling in all available ambulances from the area. As we come across the bridge off to our right, we can see an orange light rising in the sky. It seems to be covering quite a large area along East River Road. As soon as we get down to the scene, we'll have further reports on that. This is Don Lancer, KB Total Mobile News on the Grand Island Bridge.
KB 15 will continue to keep you up to date on the story. We advise all the people in the Grand Island area, above all else, to stay calm. And please, again, do not attempt...
Jay, yes. Let's take this into the newsroom. I want to start to cover the story live. So just hold on for a moment or two, if you will, and then throw it into the newsroom. We'll have the mics and everything else hot in there, but we've got everybody in, and we're going to take it live from the newsroom now, okay?
If you didn't hear that, I've just received instructions from our program director, Jefferson Kay, and we are going to interrupt normal broadcasting at this time. We'll be taking you into the KB newsroom, and they'll handle all details live in this continuing news development. This is WKBW Radio, Buffalo, New York.
And a perfect opportunity for us to remind you that this is just a story. It's just a story. Okay? Don't do anything drastic.
I thought it was 1973 again. Darn.
Oh, I did for a minute with that music. That is just so awesome, Dave. Thank you so much for this. This is like so cool.
Okay, let me give you a little bit about Grand Island. Grand Island is one of the islands you hop over on both sides of it in order to get to Niagara Falls. So it's a big traffic area for people going to Niagara Falls. Also on Grand Island, as I recall, of course it was more than a couple of years ago, but as I recall, there was a place called Fantasy Island on here. It was a small amusement park, probably about the size of Geauga Lake here in Ohio.
The plane.
Yeah.
But it was called Fantasy Island. They had their little fun house, the crooked little man's house, where it was all tilted. The house was tilted, and you had to walk through the house. So kind of looked like the Batman's criminal lair, that kind of a thing. But but that's kind of what Grand Island is. So it was very important because that was a main traffic area to go from New York to Niagara Falls.
And I think what you said is very revealing to where we've come as a society, because we measure things by what we see on Batman.
Absolutely. Yes.
Gar would approve, Dave. Gar would approve. God bless him.
I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying this trip in the past, and I think they're doing a darn good job of their own news people breaking in. Their own program director broke in to the room to tell them we're going to take it from the newsroom from here on. And I enjoyed it. And again, when the disc jockey was howling and joining in and the songs thing, you don't get that today. Maybe one of the reasons why we don't have radio personalities, because we just don't let them be themselves.
No, we don't. That's been the problem with radio, in my opinion.
I agree.
I agree.
No, that's right. I agree.
I agree. I believe it goes.
Yeah.
I'm
having a blast with this. I'm hoping.
Podcast.
I'm having a blast. I'm sorry. Go ahead, CW.
I was saying so many DJs, instead of going on the radio, they may have radio gigs, but they'll also do more podcasting. That way they can be as they will.
As we, I think, are doing here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't tell us what to do in here. That's right.
That's right. Because we always have the opportunity to say...
Yes, it was all about dreams.
That's right.
Yes, we do.
Forget what you've heard. It's all about dreams.
But I'm truly enjoying this. I pieced it together because it was all sitting out there in pieces, but I'm enjoying hearing the production all put together as such.
Oh my, hey, this is like a cultural thing for me with all the great tunes from the era. I'm just loving the heck out of this.
Yep.
And the commercials and everything else. So let's go into part three of War of the Worlds, 1973, WKBW.
Hello from outer space.
It's a blast-off of a sale going on at the 13 giant Twin Fair stores of Western New York. They're featuring the greatest album buy ever. It's Out of This World. Three albums for only $1. It's a steal, a flying saucer of a deal. Add to your record collection today. Get down to the Twin Fair store nearest you. There are hundreds of artists and titles to choose from, featuring music ranging from folk to rock, from soul to soundtracks. Stop at a Twin Fair store and get into the three albums for only $1. Increase your record collection today. It's a crazy blast-off sale, featured only at Twin Fair.
This is WKBW at 1520 on your Buffalo dial.
Are you ready with that mic to the newsroom? You're all set? Communication's hot. Mic is hot. Okay, Joe, take it.
This is Joe Downey in the WKBW newsroom. Right now, there are reported explosions and fires on Grand Island.
Yeah,
communications at this time are reported down.
Telephone
communications are down, and other types of communications are very poor at this time on Grand Island. WKBW News is mobilizing its entire news department at this time. There is an unconfirmed report that a meteor exploded on Grand Island. Newsmen from KB are on the way right now to the disaster scene on Grand Island. WKBW newsman Henry Brock is now attempting to contact the Erie County Sheriff. Henry,
have you called
the sheriff?
Yet, Joe. Go on for
just to repeat, there are explosions and fires together. Cause a lack of communications on Grand Island. There's an unconfirmed
report. Got it. Now, let's go to the
Sheriff's Department. Henry, and the Sheriff.
Erie County Sheriff's Department, Deputy McIntyre here.
Hello, this is WKBW News. Anything on that goings on Grand Island?
Well, there's fires and there's damage. There's several lives have been lost, but we have no body count at this point. There's, I can't give you an actual report at this point. There's fire people here and there's military people. They're all over the place here. I can't really hardly give you any actual report.
An estimate of the number of deaths or injuries?
No, there's no count at this point. We don't know, but there are several lives lost.
Are you in communication with all parts of the island yet, and with your
most of our communication lines are down here.
How about electrical and gas failures? Any reports on that?
There's been about three electrical failures that we know.
Any looting or something like that?
I can't tell you that at this moment. I really don't know.
Okay, thank you.
Henry, I couldn't hear that. I don't think the monitors were up loud enough. What's the story at the Sheriff's Department, Henry?
Well, obviously, the Erie County Sheriff's Department is up to its neck in work, trying to get information from that general area.
Henry,
and right now,
Jim Fagan on the two-way.
Okay, Jeff, thank you.
393 to 2586, Jim Fagan.
Go ahead, Hank.
Jim, can you give us anything new on the Grand Island situation?
Well, Hank, at the moment, we're heading south on the Robert Moses Parkway. We're heading for Grand Island. I have a chance to talk with Dr. Robert Moore, professor of astronomy here at Niagara University. I came up here originally to talk to him about the hydrogen bomb intensity explosion on Mars. But now with the new incident arising on Grand Island, I have prevailed upon the professor to motor back to Grand Island with me to take a closer look at the situation. Dr. Moore, is there any relationship between the hydrogen bomb explosion on Mars and the situation on Grand Island?
Well, Mr. Fagan, I would first of all like to say that I don't believe there would be a hydrogen bomb explosion on Mars because it's 40 million miles away from us, and I don't believe there's a living soul up there to explode any such bomb. That would probably be some gaseous explosion with many, many layers of air, you very hot gas. But I'm very anxious to see this explosion on Grand Island. I'm just amazed at what's going on over there, and certainly I'm as anxious as you to see this, and I'll have a lot more to say after I have a chance to examine these things.
Dr. Moore, can you tell us if that was an extraterrestrial body that landed on the island?
I would think not, sir, at the moment. As I say, I have not as yet seen what has happened on the island. We're going to be getting there in a few minutes, but certainly it's possible. But I would doubt it. That would be just my candid opinion before I have seen it.
Would you say it was a meteor?
Yes, that's very possible. There are many meteors that have landed on various parts of the Earth in the past many years, and this could possibly be just one of them.
Do you think there were more than one?
Well, certainly with the explosions that I'm hearing about, it's very possible there could be some several of them, yes.
Okay, Doctor, thank you very much.
Hank, as we're heading south on the expressway, what's the story now in Grand Island? Do you have any more information yourself?
Jim, this is not Hank. It's Don. I'm in Unit 2. I'm presently on the East River Road. Could you give me your present location, please?
I'm on the Moses Expressway, and I'm heading south just beyond the falls now.
I'm having a lot of trouble here with traffic. I can't seem to make any headway at all on Grand Island or on the East River Road. Do you have any taping equipment with you, Jim?
Yes, I've got the Sony tape recorder with me in the back here.
Okay, good. As soon as you get on the scene, try and get us a report back with Dr. Moore and also some police officers. I'm attempting to pick my way through this traffic. I should be there in not too long. It's really congested down here.
See a little bit more traffic now. It looks like I'm going to have almost the same problem you're having. I see a great deal of traffic at the north end of the Grand Island Bridge now, at the base between the falls and the island.
I've come up on a side road here off to my left. I think I'll try and pick my way over that way maybe and then come back around into the scene.
Okay.
This is Henry Brock in the WKBW newsroom. This just off the wire, United Press says it has unconfirmed reports that Governor Nelson Rockefeller is preparing to mobilize the National Guard in light of the developments on Grand Island.
Thank you very much.
New York Telephone Company has requested that only emergency calls be made by private individuals. The lines are beginning to be swamped with calls, and police and fire officials' switchboards have been overburdened with calls. Fire officials in the city of Buffalo are concerned at this time. The fires that have broken out on the island have bled off a great deal of equipment, and extra units in the city have been called in. Commissioner Felicetta of the Buffalo Police Department has requested that all off-duty policemen report to the precinct.
Henry, Herb Weinstein wants to know if we can hold for a second because he wants to coordinate the TV units.
Okay.
Don, have you gone to Delaware Park yet?
Heading towards the thruway in case you want me to go to Grand Island.
Okay, fine. We may shift the entire operation out to Grand Island in a couple minutes if this thing checks out.
5-4 to 393, Irv.
Yeah, Alan, go ahead.
Listen, if they've got this Whitehaven area cordoned off, let's get out there with the sound equipment.
Okay, go.
5-5 to 393. There sure must be something going here.
Okay, Alan and Sam are headed out there with the sound gear.
Right on the corner of Whitehaven and Grand Island Boulevard, or within a half a block of it. Out of the car.
393 out.
This is Henry Brock in the KB newsroom. It has just been confirmed that Governor Rockefeller has mobilized the National Guard, and contingents of the Guard from the Western New York area are on their way to Grand Island. And now we have KB Total News Director Don Lancer standing by with a report from Grand Island.
Well, this is Don Lancer. We finally made it down to an area near the scene, and I'm speaking with lineman Dennis O'Malley. Could you tell me, Mr. O'Malley, what happened? Where were you when this thing occurred?
I'm working for Niagara Mohawk. I was checking out a line break earlier, and suddenly the sky lit up, and there was this tremendous explosion.
Do you have any idea what it was, sir?
No idea at all. Just a loud noise and a bright light. That's all I know, Matt.
Do you know if anybody at all in the air was injured? Have you heard any talk of that?
No, I don't know any of that stuff.
Cops pretty busy here. We got power out now. North Cherry, Broadway, Woodley, LC, Redway. Man, the power's out all over this place.
Do you think this might have been a gas main explosion or something like that?
Nah, I've heard gas main explosions before. This was nothing like that. I never heard anything like this before.
Did you see anything fall? Anything hit the ground?
No, just a bright light and loud noise. That's all I heard, man.
Okay, thank you very much.
This is Don Lancer in unit number 2. We're going to try now and make our way over to the scene. We're about 500 yards away from it at this moment. Now, return you back to base.
Spike hot, is it this one?
This is Jeff Kay. Henry Brock is on the other side of the room right now, trying to raise Jim Fagan, who is attempting to make his way to the scene of the death. I think we're picking up Jim Fagan now. Let's listen.
Jim, where are you at the moment?
I'm just off Whitehaven Road, Hank, not too far from the sea.
What do you see there? A lot of destruction? Any houses down?
Right. Several houses have been leveled to the ground, and I can see ambulances. There are about three or four ambulances on the scene that I can see. The attendants and the medics in these ambulances are now treating several of the people who have been injured here. I counted about 20 persons injured here at the scene.
What do you got? You got walking injuries or real bad ones?
People are badly crippled as a result of the injuries they've received. Several people are unable to walk at all, and I see a number of people bleeding about the face.
How about fire? Any destruction from fire or fires burning at the moment?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch your last message, Hank.
Are there any fires in the area at the moment?
Several blazing all about. So we see about five or six fires in the one immediate area that I can look to my right. And gone out.
Jim, what about there are parts of a crater up there. Have you seen it or can you see it from where you are on your way up there?
I was able to make my way to the scene with the professor, and then he and I were separated. I did manage to see some sort of a gigantic hole in the ground. I can't see any more than that. The police kept pushing us back. They've got some sort of a fence around the whole area, and they are just not allowing any of us to get too close. Go on, I've gone my way.
Okay, Jim, 393 out.
Jim Fagan on the island, and apparently our worst fears have been realized with respect to property damage and personal injury. We understand now, we have a confirmed call that the National Guard is on their way on the Niagara Freeway. Don Lancer is on the island. I believe he's trying to pick us up now. I think that was Don coming in. At any rate, the National Guard is on the way for the National Guard.
Yeah,
let me turn you over to Henry Brock.
Come in, Don. You're on live. You're on.
Yes, Henry, it's not a meteor, Henry. I'm standing on the edge of the crater right now, and I can look down into it, and there are clouds of white hot steam rising from the face of what looks like some sort of a metallic cylindrical object. It's a very large object. It's lying in the bottom of this crater, but thus far there's been no one around that I've been able to talk to find out what it might be. It's hot, intense heat around this crater at the present moment, and I can't describe it very well. I can't describe it all that well. But perhaps you can hear the sound that's coming from the crater. It's a pulsating sound. It's a high-pitched sound. I don't know exactly what it is at all. I don't know. I haven't got any idea.
Don Lancer. Don, are you all right?
Are you again?
393 to 2586. Don Lancer, come in, please.
Can you pick him up?
393 to 2586. Don Lancer, are you all right? If you hear me, answer, please.
Henry, try Jim Fagan. If you can't get him.
This is 393 to 2587. Jim Fagan. 393 to 2587. Jim Fagan. No, I can't. This is 393 to 2587. Jim Fagan, come in, please, if you hear me.
Take a spot.
Oh, gosh, it's dark out.
Yeah, sure. Wish I knew where we were.
We'll just keep on walking. We've got to find it soon.
But I can't take too much more of this.
Oh, come on.
What was that?
Oh, come on. I know it's up ahead somewhere. Come on. Oh, hurry up. I think I see something.
I do see something. Hey, look. Oh, there's a light up ahead.
Yeah, it's a big golden arch.
Hey, that's it. There it is. Come on. Let's go in.
Oh, boy, I can hardly wait to taste one of their hamburgers.
Come on, hurry up.
Some fresh fries and a Coke.
Oh, I want a Big Mac and a large order of French fries and a shake. Man, am I glad we found McDonald's.
You know, you're never lost when you're near a McDonald's. Good food, nice people, reasonable prices. I mean, what more can you ask for, man?
A little less cholesterol would be good there, McDonald's. you don't mind. That would be kind of.
Sure, take all the fun out of it. Take all the fun out of it.
I don't understand what you said. I heard some words, but it hurts. Sorry.
Vengeance
I'm a bad. Is that what you, those things that some people have before the meat?
Or meat. Instead of, actually.
What you said. Now I can. It's a healthy way of life.
Unless you're a plant.
Yeah, well.
You know, not so good for the plants.
Truth is of the world where.
A little bit after this period, in the late 70s, we had a local guy here. What was his name? And he had funny. Oh, Alex. No, was it Alex Bevin? I think it was Alex Bevin. He did a song called "I Love." You know, I like meat because don't you know all those vegetables are friends of mine? And every time I, you know, stab my plate, I can hear those suckers scream. It was funny.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like Alex Bevin.
I think that was him. Very early in his career.
Right up there with his skinny little kid from Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah, that one at least got some national airplay.
It did, yeah.
Anywho. Let's get back.
Fantastic.
What was that?
I said, this is fantastic. It's like, it is literally a window into another world.
Yeah. I'm getting a kick out of being in the newsroom and hearing all the different phones ringing and trying to report at the same time you hear people in the background talking and having conversations and stuff. They're trying to make, you know, in some ways, it reminds me of what we were doing on 911. What we were doing is I had two people on the air at a time for half an hour, and I'd be over at the computer pulling up items as quick as I could get them and shuffling into them. We'd take like a 5-minute break. They'd go in for another half hour. Then after that, they'd come out and we'd get another two guys in for the next hour. But it was stuff literally coming hot off the internet. Cause at first when 911 happened, everybody, all the internet services went down out there. And, one of my volunteers went to a hacker friend of his, found an Australian site that was opened up and starting to get information. So we started getting information from the ABC, which was the Australian Broadcasting Company. And then from the UK and with BBC News. And then it started filtering in as they took off all the graphics and stuff of the internet. It made it easier to start getting information out. But that kind of reminds me of what was happening here in this depiction of the War of the Worlds.
Dave, that's a nice piece of history you shared there.
Absolutely. That's incredible.
It was an amazing moment in time because the station manager told me we're going live, and which we didn't do a lot of at that point because we had gone digital. And it was such an amazing time, but I hope to God I never have to do it again.
Yes.
Definitely.
Amen to that.
Unless the extraterrestrials land.
Yeah.
Then it's all go.
Yep, that's true.
True.
Anyway. Well,
we do have to get back to, let's see, we're on part four now, aren't we not? Yeah.
I think we are, yes. Yep.
War of the Worlds from 1973 on WKBW.
Hello from outer space.
It's a blast-off of a sale going on at the 13 giant Twin Fair stores of Western New York. They're featuring the greatest album buy ever. It's Out of This World. Three albums for only $1. It's a steal, a flying saucer of a deal. Add to your record collection today. Get down to the Twin Fair store nearest you. There are hundreds of artists and titles to choose from. featuring music ranging from folk to rock, from soul to soundtracks. Stop at a Twin Fair store and get into the three albums for only $1. Increase your record collection today. It's a crazy blast-off sale featured only at Twin Fair.
Tonight, Halloween, the night you are being called by the great spirits, the spirits of hard cider, the spirits of sangria, the spirits of all the wine you can drink at the library and the woodshed. Hear the call of these spirits. Heed the call of the spirits tonight, Halloween, when the great spirits warm up all the little pumpkins of Buffalo and attract them irresistibly to the library and the woodshed, where all you can drink for the entire spirit-filled night only sets you back $3.50 for guys and $2.50 for girls. And it only happens once a year, Halloween, at two places, the library on Bailey Avenue and the woodshed under the packet in the North Tonawanda, where you can booze it up with the greatest great spirits. Hard cider, sangria, or all the wine you can drink. $3.50 for guys and $2.50 for gals. Music in both places. Spirits in both places. Pumpkins in both places. The library and the woodshed.
What you are listening to is a dramatization. A dramatization of H.G. Wells' classic story, The War of the Worlds. The events are fictional. You are listening to a dramatization of H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds. On WKBW Radio, 1520, Buffalo, New York. We now rejoin our story.
393 to 2586, Jim Fagan. I can hear you, Hank. Go ahead. Jim, what the hell happened to Don? Hank, I'm at the opposite end of the crater from Don. I can see him from where I am. Don met with a little bit of an accident, but he seems to be okay. He was standing a little bit too close to the crater, apparently. He was on the lip of the crater when it suddenly gave way. Don fell about halfway down, but managed to recover himself, and now is back up on top okay. He made out under his own power. He appears to be a little bit shaken up, but other than that, he's okay. He's talking with a few troopers just on the other side of the crater from where I am. But, Jim, we still don't know what hit. What was it, a meteor? I have no idea. Apparently it's not a meteor, Hank, from what we can make out. This thing hit with such impact that it really got things rolling here. This is what apparently touched it all off. The fires, the broken gas mains, and what have you here on the island, as well as the numerous injuries. This thing hit with one hell of an impact. What was it? It sounds like space debris. Was it space debris? This thing is intact from what we can make out here at the scene. There's a lot of white heat coming out of there in deep in the crater, but from what we can make out, this thing is intact. You can hear the noise. Listen to this, Hank. Can you hear it, Hank? Yeah, I can hear it all right, Jim. Well, what do you think it is, a booster? I don't think so, Hank, but I'm not sure. I can't honestly say that it is a booster. This thing is cone-shaped. It's got a white metal casing, but as I said before, it appears to be intact, and it's giving off this weird sound. Well, let's try to find out. Is there anybody there with you? Anybody from the military or from the other authorities? We've got several military, we've got city, we've got county officials. They're all over the place. Police are now talking with them all around the edge of the crater. But no one has said anything at this time. They claim it's a little bit too early to say anything. Lancer to Brock. Henry, do you read? Come in, Henry. Do you read?
I read you loud and clear, Don. This is Jeff, not Henry. How are you? Are you okay? Are you all right?
For the most part, Jeff, I am, yes. What happened was I fell down in the crater. I got about halfway down in there. I slipped on the edge. The lip of this crater is so soft that I just slipped and tumbled halfway down it, but I did manage to get back up. I've got a few burns, but I don't think they're that serious. They don't hurt that much. There's an awful lot of smoke coming out of this thing, and it's choking me up a bit. When I was down there, I did manage to see quite a bit. This is a very bright metallic object. There's a sheen to it. It's not shiny like silver or anything like that, but there's definitely a sheen to it. There are no markings that I can see at all. Very smooth. No interruptions of lines at all in it. It's just a smooth object. Part of it's buried beneath the surface, probably maybe the major portion of it, but there is a goodly portion on top in the bottom of the crater. An awful lot of smoke down here. I see Jim on the other side of the crater. Come in, Jim. Do you read?
I read you, Don. Go ahead. Are you all right?
Yeah, Jim, I think so. For the most part, they're just telling them back in face. I've got a few burns here, and a state trooper I was just talking to is going to have a medic come up here and look at it, but it's not that bad.
That's good.
good. I spent the last few minutes here trying to get some sort of a comment or two from the military officials surrounding this thing, but no one wants to say anything. I tried to worm a comment or two out of one when he remained very tight-lipped. I don't imagine anybody really wants to commit themselves at this time.
Well, boy, all I can see is they're going to have to commit themselves pretty soon because this damn thing sure is a meteor.
I can see it a little better now, Don, from where I am, thanks to the lights. The lights are really pouring in on it now. Do you see the crack? Are you able to see the crack?
No, what crack? What? No, there's no crack on this side. It's perfectly smooth over here.
But there's a crack definitely on this side. That's easily determined at this point. I can see several cables or something coming out of that crack. There are two or three cables anyway.
I can't see anything, Jim. Can you describe a little more detail?
My God, Don, there's something crawling out of the top of this thing. Something or someone. I can see two discs of some sort. They're eyes. They appear to be eyes. It might well be a face for all I know. Something's wriggling out of this tap tool. Wait a minute. They're clinical. That's what they are. I can see them now. The police lights are on them. This thing is large. But the body glistens like it's soaking wet. But face, I can hardly look at it, Don. I can hardly look at it. The eyes are black. The mouth is C-shaped, and it's dripping saliva. It's finding it very difficult to move, but it's now beginning to move. It's weighed down by something. I can't say what it is. This thing is rising up. I've got to get out of here. The ground's moving back. I'm moving back. I'm getting out of here.
I can see it now. I can see it, too. Oh, my God.
This is 393, Jim. Just what is going on out there? Now, let's get coherent. Let's cool down. Jim, what's shaking?
Oh. Hang on, I'm falling. This is it. There's some sort of a monster of sorts. Not too far from where we're standing right now. We've had to get out of the immediate area. We're moving back as far back as we can possibly move.
Jim, can't you get to Professor Moore so we can get some facts on this thing?
Hank, I tried to talk to Professor out of moving up, but he managed to talk some Army lieutenant into approaching this thing. The lieutenant himself is carrying some sort of a pole, and on his pole is a white handkerchief. And he and the professor are now approaching this monster. Good God almighty, they've been hit with some sort of a red beam. They're burst into flames. The professor, the lieutenant. We're getting out of here. We gotta get out of here. One by one, the bodies are all over the place.
393 to Jim Fagan. Just what is going on out there? Jim, come in, Jim. What's going on?
Hey, this is Don. I'm on the other side of the crater. I can see Jim from where I'm standing. He's running away. What has happened is this thing has shot out a laser type beam, and it's killing people right and left. People are now stampeding over one another, trying to get out of its way. It's climbed down onto the side of the crater, and it's starting to come up over the top on the other side. I can see that beam shooting all over. It's a red beam, and the people are bursting in the flame instantly. That's got Jim. Oh no, it's got Jim. Oh, it's got Jim. I'm going right over and see if I can help him out and see what happened.
You're going over to help him, is that right? You're going over to help Jim, is that right, the way here you will?
That's right, Henry. I'm going over to see if I can do something for him. I don't know how badly he's hurt.
You're going over
to help him. Don't go help Jim.
Don't go, Don. Get out of that area.
Hey, do you want me to move back? I want to go over and see if I can help Jim.
Don, this is Jeff. Forget about Jim. If he's been zapped, just forget about him. Get back away and stay as safe as you can. Keep close contact. We understand that the Army is on the way out there. We'll be handling it from here. Stay in tight communication. Do you read me? Do you read me over?
Shouldn't I go over to Jim?
Forget it, man. Get back out and stay out of the way.
All right, Henry. I'm moving back.
Henry, pick it up and fill in for enough time for Don to get established out there.
This is Henry Brock in the KB newsroom.
KB Total News.
It's been reported that a spaceship has landed on Grand Island. That's a confirmed report. It's believed that the extraterrestrial beings in that vehicle are Martians. KB Total News still has Don Lancer on the island. And we have late word that a command post has been established by the National Guard on the island. Martial law in Erie and Niagara County has also been rumored to be established. There have been rumored landings, though unconfirmed, of some more capsules in Toronto, Oshawa, Erie, Pittsburgh, the Finger Lakes area, Bradford, and in Dunkirk.
Henry, I have a guy on the phone right now, Constable Petrie from the Ontario Provincial Police right at the moment. Constable Petrie, you say that you have a report. You do. You do have a report. And where is it coming from? From in the Oshawa vicinity. You got two raccoon hunters in Oshawa who are out hunting late at night and discovered a capsule in the swamp. Has it opened yet? Is there any sign of any activity around it? There hasn't been. And what action are the Canadian authorities taking? I see. They are going on the way. There's nobody been hurt as yet. No injuries in that particular area. How about the Toronto landings? You have no confirmed reports on that yet. I see. Okay, thanks very much, Constable Petrie. A report from a constable in the Ontario Provincial Police that a couple of hunters spotted a capsule in the swampy area up there while they were out hunting, and military authorities are on their way to clear that up. Here's a couple of other things. You mentioned the martial law, right? That's a confirmed report from the governor. This bit about the explosions on Mars, you want to take that and I'll grab the phone.
Yeah, these explosions on Mars are believed to be associated with the landings on Grand Island and in other areas of the country, but there is no scientific confirmation.
Okay.
We've just gotten word that Don Lancer has made his way to a sheriff's command post on Grand Island.
Henry,
should be ready to report
on the island
in
now.
Just a few moments. Jeff Kay says that we have a confirmed report that there have been 46 persons wiped out on Grand Island as of this time.
Niagara Air Force Base, we understand, has been put on alert. They're already scrambling aircraft both to check out the landing in Grand Island and to provide some air support for them, in addition to trying to get some people down to these other areas where the landings have been spotted, where they're all within our flight range, so that we may have some confirmed reports from Niagara in just a very short time.
We understand that Don Lancer is about ready to file a report from the island, and we speak now to Don Lancer.
Well, all right, now, we've finally had a few seconds to get ourselves oriented here, and I've managed to get to what I consider to be a safe distance away from the crater. At the present moment, troops have been moved up about 100, maybe 200 all told. They're ringing the crater at a safe distance, maybe 100 yards away from it. And overhead, a lot of jets have been flying back and forth. There's a helicopter that's been hovering, stationed itself off to my right above a clump of trees, not directly over the crater itself. Earlier, the creature that had come out stopped about maybe 100 yards away from the edge of the capsule and suddenly went back in. The capsule is still open. It was open when I was up there maybe 5 minutes ago, and I don't think it's closed yet. Wait a minute. There's one jet that seems to be making a pass. It's coming in low now. It's fired a rocket. There's a terrific explosion in the crater. Smoke is billowing up at heat. It is intense. I can see flames flickering from here. Apparently, that rocket pass has done absolutely no good. But you can still hear the sound, I think. I can hear it from here, and it's still just as loud as it has been since we first got here. Here comes another jet, another pass being made. Two more rockets have been fired into the crater. Another terrific explosion with smoke billowing sky high. It doesn't seem to have done anything at all to this thing in the crater. There's no sign of life. There's some activity. There's something going on. Here comes, it looks like a silver bowl turned upside down with long, thin legs on it. It's rising into the air. It's huge. It's about 50 feet in the air.
Well, what is this thing, Don? Can you describe it a little more detail on it? What is it?
Henry, the only thing that I can tell you is it looks like a flying saucer with long, stilty legs, and it's moving at a fantastic rate. Here comes a jet. The jet is making a pass on this saucer. It's fired. It's right. The rockets bounced off. They bounced off. They've exploded right in midair. It's shooting at the jets. It got one jet. It's passing back. It just cut another one. It cut another one right in half. It blew up right in the midair. And it's coming in this direction. It's moving at a fantastic rate. It's like a huge monster. It's plodding along on these long legs. It just got the helicopter. It cut the helicopter in half. It has crashed into the treetops. I'm getting out of here. I'm moving on. This is 8. Done. I'm off. Right, Don, right. Just get off the island. Get off immediately. Get off immediately.
Don Lancer is leaving Grand Island at the moment. We're back in the KB newsroom.
All right, I'm getting off.
Yeah, he's going off the island right now, and we're back in the KB newsroom, and I have several things that have come in here. Scientists are now speculating, and it's no longer speculation, that the strange phenomenon that scientists the world over witnessed on the planet Mars, the gaseous explosions that we reported to you just what seemed like such a short time ago, in reality has turned to be such a nightmare, is the fact that these landings that have been reported in the vicinity, I have the, excuse me, hang on, stand by one moment, please. I have the report here somewhere. Landings have been reported in Toronto, Oshawa, Erie, Pittsburgh, the Finger Lakes region, Bradford, Dunkirk area of western New York, and now I understand in the Batavia area. The scientists are speculating at this moment that they are indeed allied with the phenomenon that occurred on Mars, and I've just been handed another message. Oh, a report from Grand Island says that National Guard, regular army, U.S. Air Force, police, and sheriff's deputies numbering in the vicinity of about 1,000 men have almost been totally destroyed by a single fighting machine from what is believed to be a planet Mars. There are approximately 20 survivors. The rest remain trampled by this huge metal feet of this Martian fighting machine or cindered by the heat ray. And at last report, we understand that the charred body of Jim Fagan is also was discovered on the island. Another report in that further explosions are now being witnessed by the Jodrell Bank Observatory in England on the planet Mars. We understand that Jamestown, Lewiston, Lockport, all of the towns surrounding the Niagara County area in Erie County around Grand Island are all being evacuated at this moment. We've lost communications with Don. He is en route back to the main side of the Niagara River to the Tonawandas. Just a moment, please. I'm sorry, say again. We have a report from Tonawanda in just a moment. Stand by one, please.
Wow. It's getting hairy in Buffalo. Hairy Buffalo.
Not bad for a bunch of newsmen and disc jockeys and stuff to be putting together this amazing little rendition that we're listening to tonight.
No, and I would like to think that the personalities had a great time making it.
Oh, I would think so. Because they also did on the same night. I mean, they took over the whole night. And they redid the stories of Arch Obler did on his album on Hi-Fi. So they redid some stories there, and they did another story as well. So I think they all had a lot of fun putting this together for Halloween. Definitely would be something that they would would remember later on.
I would hope so. This is cool.
In their careers, or lack of, when everything went crazy with radio.
Yep.
Well,
CW, how are you enjoying this timeless classic?
Perhaps she stepped away from the microphone.
Could be. Hopefully she's driving safely. We'll be back after we truck on over to part 5 of 6.
Yep. Yep, this is the shortest segment, but yeah, but the next one is the longest segment, so.
Yep. Oh, yep. Here we go, back into 1973. Ah, the good old days.
A little more of this, a drop more of that, and I'll have it. Think they can outsmart me, do they? I'll make one as good or better than they can. I've got all the magic powers.
Hansel, what's she doing?
I think she's cooking something, Gretel.
Yes, but what?
Listen, she's mumbling something again.
100% pure beef bagels, but I've got other things. Crispy French fries, cold frosty cokes, but mine will be better. All better, eh?
The poor thing. She thinks she can copy McDonald's secret.
Oh, that poor witch. She's trying to make a delicious taste of McDonald's hamburger, french fries, and coke.
Taste it. And taste like bat wings. I failed again. Oh, I failed
Come
again.
Come on, witch. Let's all go to McDonald's for a delicious treat.
Oh, let's all go. I'd be so grateful. I love McDonald's so much.
This is WKBW at 1520 on your Buffalo dial. This is WKBW at 1520 on your Buffalo dial. Just a moment. Stand by one, please.
Is this a line for the Tonawanda report? Hello, who's there?
Hey, Jeff, this is John.
John who?
Irving.
Oh, John, yes. Where are you?
I'm on Tonawanda, Jeff. I tried to get across to Grand Island. I heard this thing developing, and I tried to get over there, but I can't get over there. Just not letting anybody buy on the bridges.
John, just hang on. Who won't let you buy?
The National Guard. They're over there. They're trying to do something. I think they're putting mines up on the bridge. They look like mines.
Mines on the bridge?
Yes, on the bridge.
Are they going to blow it?
I don't know. Apparently, they're trying to stop these things from getting come across on the bridge, but they've blocked all traffic on the bridge. I can see people over on the other side, but they're trying to get over.
John, they're not letting the people across, is that
they're
it?
They're not letting anybody across. I'm coming over here. I don't know what they're going to do.
Either on or off the island.
No, nobody. On or off. The island is completely sealed off.
What's the military up to on your... Where are you on the river?
I'm along River Road here, and the Ashland oil tanks here, the refinery. The guard is just establishing the perimeter here. They're trying artillery units. I've never seen artillery units like this. Huge cannon being established around here, and there are hundreds of troops coming in. They're just coming in at scores on trucks and everything they can get together, apparently. I've never seen so much military force in one place in my life.
Have you seen anything of any of our mobile units? Because Lancer was on the island. We haven't seen
them. Seen a thing, man. I just haven't been able to get across there. They're blocking. They didn't even press credentials. Nothing was good. They just wouldn't let me over there. My God, they've blown the bridge. One bridge is gone. It's down in the river. It's like something I've never seen it.
What about John? Were there any people on the bridge when it went?
There were some on the other side. They were trying to get over on the far side. I don't know what. Now people are jumping in from the other side. They're trying to swim the thing. They can't swim that river.
Jumping into the river?
They can't swim that river. The rapids are sweeping them right away. I've never seen anything like this.
John,
I don't believe it. The bridge has gone down the other side. The other span has gone too, and there were people on that span. They just blown it up.
Well, John, just take it easy. Take it easy. See if you can try and find, you know, some sort of a command post to see if you can find it.
There's no place to go. They're trying to move me away now. Wait, hang on a second, Jeff. I'm trying to report it. Will you please?
Can you see the Martian machine at all? We understand it's very, very high.
There's something over there. It's ill-defined. I just can't see what it is for sure. There's a stilts or something coming out of the water. They've blown the bridges. They're coming across anyway. They're fording that river. The stilts are down in the water, and they're just coming across. They're still on the surface.
All right, John, hold on. I got a report coming in from Don Lancer. Apparently, he's there. He's on the two-way here. Just hang tight on the phone.
All right, Jack.
John Irving of TV News, and he'll be standing by out at River Road. We have a report now from Don Lancer. Henry, give it to Don live.
Yes, Henry. I just made it across the bridge when it blew. It was horrible. All of a sudden, the bridge just erupted, and then
Don, did they establish a perimeter? Did the National Guard establish a perimeter yet?
Yes, Henry. It has. There's a large perimeter. A lot of men and heavy artillery around here. I've never seen such artillery before in this area.
Don, how many machines are coming at you? Do you have any idea? Are they fording the river yet?
I can see two of them are in my line of view. Two of them at the present moment, and they're coming up. They're firing at the artillery, and the artillery is firing back. Huge explosions all along the shore here. And there's huge explosions. I can see bodies flying in the air from here. Bodies are flying through the air. There's another machine. I can see another one. Now that they're joining forces right up here in the front of the refinery. They haven't quite gotten in yet, but there's a total of three machines here. They're coming into the refinery. The artillery is now turned around from its perimeter. The smoke cloud is now coming toward me, Henry. It's not smoke, it's gas.
Very nice, Don Lancer. Come in, Don Lancer.
What you are listening to is a dramatization of H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds on WKBW Radio at 1520 on your Buffalo dial. I repeat, it is a dramatization. It is a play. It is not happening in any way, shape, or form. What you are listening to is a dramatization of H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds as being portrayed on WKBW 1520 Buffalo.
What do you do? What do you wear after tonight? You can't go around in your silly costume all year long.
Behold Fashion University in Sheridan Plazas. The right place to buy fall and winter fashion. The right place to buy slacks. Keyhole Fashion clothes will give you a superiority complex because the right slacks from Keyhole Fashion will cause people to stop, look, and talk about them. Clothes that make you feel right, dress right, and look right can be bought at Keyhole Fashion University in Sheridan Plazas. You also get a 10% discount on your purchase if you bring in the stub from any hockey, football, or basketball game. 10% off your purchase. Bring in your ticket stubs to Keyhole Fashion. Check out the big and tall guys department of the Sheridan Plaza. Great fall fashion for the big guys. Sporting event ticket stubs receive a 10% discount at Keyhole Fashion University in Sheridan Plaza. Keyhole Fashion. Seymour is a good sport. Stop by today.
That was a short bit there. With one lengthy piece to come. Have you joined the CW? I think we've lost her, by Jove.
Oh, well, I'm hopefully she'll be back there at the end. One quick thing here. We keep hearing these commercials from Twin Fair. It was kind of a local discount department store, kind of like a Kmart that was based in Buffalo, New York, incorporated in March 22nd, 1956. We had one of these over by where our drive-thru was, where my family would go upon occasion to the drive-thru. It was right next to that. Went to the Twin Fair more than we did the drive-thru. But anyway, four stores were operating and sales stood at $2.5 million in 62. They sold the company to Unexcel Chemicals Corporation. They kept it, Twin Fair. They expanded into Connecticut and Cincinnati, Ohio. I think we had one here in this area as well. Later, it closed down here, but the ones that were survived were later sold off to Myers, which is now kind of infiltrating Northeast Ohio as well, which is a chain out of Michigan. So
infiltrating, be nice. It's infesting.
Oh, I see. Okay. And by the time of the 1982 acquisition, Federated Department Stores, subsequent merger into Gold Circle, you remember that one, Dale? The chain consists of 14 stores in Western New York market, and then the Hills Department Stores. So they all kind of conglomerated into one.
Those discount shopping stores, they just keep it changing year after year after year. But it's always fun to go back and listen to the past. And we have the long, lengthy remaining piece. We've got just enough time to wrap it up with War of the Worlds from WKBW in 1973.
This is WKBW at 1520 on your Buffalo dial. Just a moment. Stand by one, please.
Is this a line for the Tonawanda Report? Hello, who's there?
Hey, Jeff, this is John.
John who?
Irving.
Oh, John, yes. Where are you?
I'm out in Tonawanda, Jeff. I tried to get across to Grand Island. I heard this thing developing, and I tried to get over there, but I can't get over there. Just not letting anybody buy on the bridges.
John, just hang on. Who won't let you buy?
The National Guard. They're over there. They're trying to do something. I think they're putting mines up on the bridge. They look like mines.
Mines on the bridge?
On the bridge.
Are they going to blow it?
I don't know. Apparently, they're trying to stop these things from getting come across on the bridge, but they blocked all traffic on the bridge. I can see people over on the other side, but they're trying to get over.
John, they're not letting the people across, is that
they're
it?
Not letting anybody across. I'm coming over here. I don't know what they're going to do.
Either on or off the island.
No, nobody. On or off. The island is completely sealed off.
What's the military up to on your... Where are you? On the river
road?
On
the river road here, and the Ashland oil tanks here, the refinery. The guard is just establishing a perimeter here. They're trying... Artillery units. I've never seen artillery units like this. Huge cannon being established around here, and there are hundreds of troops coming in. They're just coming in scores of trucks and everything they can get together, apparently. I've never seen so much military force in one place in my life.
Have you seen anything of any of our mobile units? Because Lancer was on the island. We haven't seen...
I haven't seen a thing, man. I just haven't been able to get across there. They're blocking. They didn't even press credentials. Nothing was good. They just wouldn't let me over there. My God, they've blown the bridge.
The bridge?
One bridge is gone. It's down in the river. It's like something. I've never seen it.
What about John, were there any people on the bridge when it went?
There were some on the other side. They were trying to get over on the far side. I don't know what... Now people are jumping in from the other side. They're trying to swim the thing. They can't
jumping
swim that river.
Jumping into the river?
They can't swim that river. The rapids are sweeping them right away. I've never seen anything like this.
John,
I don't believe it. The bridge is gone now the other side. The other span is gone too, and there were people on that span. They just blown it up.
Well, John, just take it easy. Take it easy. See if you can try and find, you know, some sort of a command post to see if you can find it.
There's no place to go. They're trying to move me away now. Wait, hang on a second, Jeff. Please, let me report. I'm trying to report it. Will you please?
Can you see the Martian machine at all? We understand it's very, very...
There's something over there. It's ill-defined. I just can't see what it is for sure. There's a spilt or something coming out of the water. They're blowing the bridges. They're coming across anyway. They're fording that river. The stilts are down in the water, and they're just coming across. They're still on the surface.
All right, John, hold on. I got a report coming in from Don Lancer. Apparently, he's there. He's on a two-way unit. Just hang tight on the phone. I'll get right back to you.
John Irving of TV News, and he'll be standing by out at River Road. We have a report now from Don Lancer. Henry, give it to Don live.
Yes, Henry, I just made it across the bridge when it blew. It was horrible. All of a sudden, the bridge just erupted, and then
Don, did they establish a perimeter? Did the National Guard establish a perimeter yet?
Yes, Henry, it has. There's a large burn, a lot of men and heavy artillery around here. I've never seen such artillery before in this area.
Don, how many machines are coming at you? Do you have any idea? Are they fording the river yet?
I can see two of them are in my line of view. Two of them at the present moment, they're coming up. They're firing at the artillery, and the artillery is firing back. Huge explosions all along the shore here. And there's huge explosions. I can see bodies flying in the air from here. Bodies are flying through the air. There's another machine. I can see another one. Now they're joining forces right up here in the front of the refinery. They haven't quite gotten in yet, but there's a total of three machines here. They're coming into the refinery. The artillery is now turned around from its perimeter. We barely got one. We got one. It's down. It's down. The other two, we got it. It's down. Artillery flashed it. It just settled down very slowly. The other two have joined it. Now they're emitting some sort of a smoke screen, it looks like, from here. They're not very far away from me. It's thick black smoke. It's about as tall as a man. It's starting to encompass the entire area. The smoke is coming from all these things, and the artillery, the weapons are still there, continuing to fire into the center, into where these three machines are located. The smoke pot is now coming toward me, Henry. There's a man falling. It's not smoke. It's gas.
Don Lancer. Come in, Don Lancer.
What you are listening to is a dramatization of H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds on WKBW Radio at 1520 on your Buffalo dial. I repeat, it is a dramatization. It is a play. It is not happening in any way, shape, or form. What you are listening to is a dramatization of H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds as being portrayed on WKBW 1520 Buffalo.
What do you do? What do you wear after tonight? You can't go around in your silly costume all year long.
Fashion University in Sheridan Plazas. The right place to buy fall and winter fashion. The right place to buy slacks. Keyhole Fashion clothes will give you a superiority complex, because the right slacks from Keyhole Fashion will cause people to stop, look, and talk about them. Clothes that make you feel right, dress right, and look right can be bought at Keyhole Fashion University in Sheridan Plazas. You also get a 10% discount on your purchase if you bring in the stub from any hockey, football, or basketball game. 10% off your purchase. Bring in your ticket stubs to Keyhole Fashion. Check out the big and tall guys department of the Sheridan Plaza. Great fall fashion for the big guys. Sporting event ticket stubs receive a 10% discount at Keyhole Fashion University in Sheridan Plaza. Keyhole Fashion. Seymour is a good sport. Stop by today.
What you are listening to is a dramatization. A dramatization of H.G. Wells' classic story, The War of the Worlds. The events are fictional. You are listening to a dramatization of H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds on WKBW Radio 1520, Buffalo, New York. We now rejoin our story.
Don Lancer, come in. Don Lancer, 393 to Don Lancer. If you hear me, come in.
393 to Don Lancer. If you hear me, come in, please, Don.
This is a dramatization. We have lost communications with Don Lancer on River Road on the mainland side, actually, of the river. He's off Grand Island. Don's last report was that the two remaining Martian machines, there are now two of them, they were emitting some sort of black clouds, which apparently were kind of a gas, and frankly, we don't know whether Don is alive or dead at this moment. John Irving is on the island. We had him standing by the telephone. Let me see if I can pick him up. Hello, John. John, are you there? Hello, John Irving. Come in, John. John? I'm afraid that John Irving is not available for us at the moment. Bulletins are piling up in our studios. We have one mobile unit left in the field. Irv Weinstein is in a unit. We'll try and communicate with him as quickly as we can. Bulletins are beginning to pile up in our studios. Let me try and bring you up to date if I can. From Pittsburgh, U.S. Air Force planes are flying reconnaissance patrols and report that three Martian machines are visible above the treetops in the vicinity of the sprawling steel city. That's in addition to the two that have been reported in the Tonawandas that are now currently rampaging the Ashland Oil Refinery. The Pittsburgh machines apparently are moving toward the community of Bradford. From all reports, they're moving rapidly. They're not using heat rays. It appears they do not intend on damaging towns and communities if possible. However, they're stopping to tear up power lines, bridges and railroad tracks, and punching huge holes in the highways. The objective, apparently, is to disrupt communications and disorganize human society altogether. Air Force scout planes have reported further sightings. Martian machines reported to be three in number, moving toward the city of Buffalo from Erie, Pennsylvania. Scouts report that the machines are moving with great speed, and military authorities feel that they are perhaps attempting a link-up with the machines that have landed in the Buffalo area. A further report from the Battle of Grand Island, to bring you up to date there, there were 20 survivors after a force of 1,000 men attempted to contain one machine there. They forded the Niagara River. Army field pieces destroyed access bridges to the islands. People have been jumping off the side of the Grand Island side of the banks of the river there and being swept over the falls in an effort to get away from these machines. The bridges were destroyed despite the fact that that little of the population of the island was able to get off the battle. You have something for me, Dan? You have something for me? What have you got?
Jeffy.
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead. All right, let me get the mic over there. Let me just move this mic over here for a second. I have a report coming in. Apparently, there's an open line from Dunkirk on the UPI machine. Those fellows have done a tremendous job tonight keeping us up to date on what's going around. I am the last man in the city. This must be from the UPI operator there in Dunkirk. Everyone seems to have fled the city, and they are gone or they are dead from the gas or have been crushed. They are coming closer now and heading toward me. They're very close now. I can't make it out. It's getting garbled again. There it is. They're getting ready. The message is ended. It comes from a UPI operator in Dunkirk. Hold on just a moment.
Hey, Jeff, Irv's on a two-way radio.
Okay, thanks, Norm. Ladies and gentlemen, one moment, please. We're getting a report from Irv Weinstein on a two-way radio. Hold on, please.
Irv Weinstein to base station. Anyone read me?
Yeah, Irv, this is Jeff Kay. Am I glad to hear your voice? Where are you now?
Jeff, I'm up on top of City Hall at the Communications Center. It's very eerie. The whole place is completely deserted. People apparently took off quite a while ago, and it's really a mess.
Yeah, I can well understand. There's only two people here at the studio left, just myself and Norm Shrutt, and he's heading home to his family, and you and I are it. You're the last guy out in the field. The rest of the guys, both TV units are dead, and both the radio units have been knocked off. What's your status? Have you got a match? I'm looking for a match for 30 minutes for this lousy cigarette, and I can't find one.
You got real problems. Listen, I hope my guys are all right. I hope it's only a communications problem. Have you heard anything from them at all?
Nothing at all, Irv. Nothing at all. Not since the battle at Grand Island. I know Lancer and Fagan are both dead, and I got to assume that the rest of the crew is gone, too.
Jeff, I tried to get to the island, but it's just impossible. It's just an impossible situation. You just cannot move. People are desperately trying to get out of the city. I don't think they quite know why they're leaving or where they hope to go.
information to the studio here where the teletypes and the phones and all that has been very, very sketchy, Irv, at this point. We do know that the Grand Island bridges have both been blown in an effort to keep the Martian machines on the island that landed there on the island, but they were able to ford the river. We're getting just bulletins from all over the place. I understand that ships off the west coast of the U.S. have been diverted to coastal ports in Washington, Oregon, and California to take refugees off there, abandoning the towns, Los Angeles and San Francisco, and there have been no sightings out there yet. It seems as only the East Coast has been hit. Can you see anything from where you're at?
Yeah, I can get a pretty good view of the area from here. As I look down at all the main arteries of the city, as I say, it's just one big mass traffic jam, and nothing is going anywhere. Now, the cars are just standing still. It's almost like looking down on one of these toy cities. There's nothing moving. It's eerie. That's all I can say about it.
I know what you mean. We just received a report. We got a report a few minutes ago from Dunkirk, which from the top of the building you might be able to get a look at because these things are awfully high. From Dunkirk, there's supposed to be a couple of machines there. East Aurora has been abandoned and is occupied, as I understand it, by Martians. And it looks like you and I are the last two news guys that are moving right now. Can you move that mobile unit at all? Can you get back into it, move it around?
Oh, I can't move at all. Frankly, I was lucky to be able to get out here and get up here. Wait a minute, I hear something. I'm not quite sure what it is. Wait a minute, hold on.
I can hear the sound too, Irv. We've been listening to it all night long. It's the machine. We understand that in addition to all the confusion that the refugees are causing, that they've been knocking off communications. But one of the interesting things about this is that they haven't been knocking down houses if they can possibly avoid it. I don't know what they're trying to accomplish.
They're more interested in knocking out communications and power systems. Jeff, do me a favor, will you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Call my wife and tell her I'm okay, would you please?
Will do, as soon as I can. Will do.
There's something going on out on the lake. I see some flashing lights. I can't quite make out what it is. Jeff, as I look down on the southern part of the area from here, the city of Lackawanna is completely blacked out now. Apparently all the power in that area is knocked out. The only thing I can see are what appear to be tremendous explosions in the area of the Bethlehem Steel Company plant.
Roger, understand. We've been getting very little here in the past few minutes. The communication is just in complete and utter chaos. The teletype machines, you can hear them behind me, they're chattering away, but they're not printing anything. The printers are just sitting there, just kind of rocking back and forth, but not putting anything out but total gibberish. The phone lines, it's almost impossible to keep up with them. I've just given up answering them. I have a sighting of a machine that's about six blocks from the station right now in Delaware Park. You have anything in view there?
Jeff, things are pretty much as they were, except that now there is no sound at all. Everything is just deathly quiet. Nothing is moving. Nothing is happening. I still hear that weird sound apparently emanating from the machines. I think I can make them out. Now they
are
appear to be
a dramatization of H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds. This is a dramatization of WKBW 1520 Buffalo.
Proven virtually totally ineffective. You might keep an eye out because I know that there are some in the area.
Yeah, I've seen some Air Guard planes, F-100s, in the area, but understandably they are approaching extremely cautiously.
What about the refugees? Are they making any headway getting them out? The city appears to be totally circled by these machines, and they're ripping up the communications and punching huge holes in the major arteries in the roads. It doesn't appear as though many people are able to move their automobiles, and those that are not able to move their cars are abandoning them, and they're further adding to the congestion. Is there any movement below you that you can notice?
Absolutely no movement, whatever, and this is what puzzles me. The cars are stopped. I would have thought that people would have gotten out of the cars and tried to make it away on foot, but absolutely nothing is moving. There appears to be a gaseous kind of material spreading out over the cars. I'm not quite sure what it is.
That probably is gas, and it's very, very lethal gas. It was reported to hug the ground very, very closely. They used it up at the Battle of Grand Island when they forded the river there. That's how Lancer bought it, and John Irving, too. You want to be careful and stay high if you can, because that stuff stays close to the ground unless the wind lofts it up.
Jeff, they're coming on. I can see them now. I can see
seen them now, Jeff. There are maybe 50, 100, 1,000. I really can't tell from here. The Air National Guard planes are trying to get in on them, but apparently they're being picked off by laser beams. The planes are just exploding in midair. They've started to move into the downtown area. I can see one coming in off the area of the throughway. Jeff, they are moving fast.
Yeah, they move very rapidly.
Unbelievable. This thing is maybe 50 feet high. A huge steel body and long legs, kind of goose-stepping. There's one. I can look right down in it right now in Niagara Square.
It's in Niagara Square right now. That's
right.
Be very careful. Can you give me a good description?
Jeff, it's extremely difficult to describe this thing. It's like nothing I've ever seen. Wait a minute.
Irv, are you there? Irv?
Jeff, it has just knocked the communication towers off the telephone building.
Irv, be very, very careful now. They've been after communications all night. That's what they've been destroying all the way down the line. You're in the communication center there for the county in the city hall there. You better get out of there as quickly as you can.
That's all right. I'll be all right. I just want to see. Jeff, it's turning my way.
Irv, can you hear me? KK393. KK393 to KH2586. Can you hear me? Irv, can you hear me?
Oh.
Irv, please. Irv, answer me, Irv.
Oh, even this thing has gone dead. One sign is out and I'm out and I guess I'm the only one. AB News. You want to talk to who? I want to talk to Irv Lightstone.
Is anybody else in this building?
What am I going to do? The only one left. I wonder if anybody's listening. I wonder if anybody's got a radio that's operating. The transistor. And take this mic and... go outside. That's what I'll do. I'll go outside. Get this thing unhooked. Pull up the fans. My phone's dead. They're all dead. What the hell am I going to do? I'll go outside. All right. Get yourself together, buddy. Go outside. Oh, the air. The air feels good. Look at the cars. Look at the cars. Shooting. Downtown. The shooting. There's some people. Hey! Hey there! Hey! Don't even look. They're terrible. Look at the people run. They're staying off Main Street, though. And look at the cars. It looks like a used car lot. I can hear it. Shooting down there. Oh, what a good it'll do. I can see the smoke. The lights on Main Street seem to be going out one by one. It's as though a giant hand were just turning them off one by one. They're moving up this way. Oh, it's the smoke. The smoke, it's obscuring. One in front of my casing just went out. It's only about a block and a half away. Einstein. My answer, they're all gone. But it's getting awfully close. To Utica Street. Lights are all going out.
The War of the Worlds. It's over. The broadcast is over. And the Martians won. Or did they? H.G. Wells did not quite end his story this way. He closes by saying that civilization as we know it was destroyed. Certain selected humans were kept to breed a super race under highly controlled conditions by the Martians and to function as workers for them. But the Martians, having accomplished their purpose of disrupting civilization, fell prey to the thing that we humans deal with day in and day out, the common cold. Yes, the Martians caught colds. They were attacked by bacteria of all forms, and having no resistance, succumbed. Our scientific knowledge has opened new vistas for mankind, and yet tonight, we presented a picture of complete and utter chaos. It was a play, you all knew it, but you must have been wondering, what would I do if it were really happening? Think about it.
I would start killing Martians. That's all I'd have to do.
Wow, that just stopped and just took my breath away. That was great.
I enjoyed it myself. I had not really heard it put together, and I tell you what, I had heard the end, but until you hear it with the other start things all added to it, just wow. It was a hope everybody enjoyed it, because I sure did.
Oh,
absolutely.
Kudos, Dave. Kudos.
Very nice. Thank you, Dave.
And also brought back a lot of Buffalo memories for me as well. So I appreciate it for that as well. So.
Yep, we'll be back next week. Halloween is just about over. Enjoy your day tomorrow. I know I will.
Most definitely. And happy Dias Muertos to everyone who's a Latinx about there.
My wife is making stuffed peppers tomorrow. I'm carving little pumpkin faces in the peppers.
There you go. And quickly, tomorrow on the Gulardi Fest, Weirdest Really Bad Movie is presenting I Bury the Living at 5 p.m. instead of the original 3 p.m. Unless you're on Roku. The Roku is running at 3 p.m. We'll be on the streaming at 5 p.m. That's it.
There you go. Don't miss it if you can. No, you got to catch that. And next week, it's Calling into the Future. That's right. It's Time Change Weekend once again. We've got Friday, an episode of X-1 and Theater 5. And, of course, we welcome back CBS Radio Mystery Theater and Lord Bloodraw on the 6th. That's Saturday. So Lord Bloodraw joining us for CBS Radio Mystery Theater. I want to thank everybody for stopping in today. Fog's Bane, good old Bob, he ducked out for a bit. He said he might be back. Well, you're late.
No, he'll be back in the he'll be back in the archive, because he went on to catch Gar the Ghoul.
Ah, yeah, who's starting in about 30 seconds or so. So.
Actually, started about half an hour ago.
Yeah, let's that's right. Heavens to Murgatroyd. In that case, it's just enough time to get Vincent to close out.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
They missed the poof.
Ooh.
I made.
It showed that it worked on mine, but you know, yours might be closer.
I don't know. One can never tell with Blog Talk. You certainly can't get things down right to the second, as much as I'd like to. Sometimes I get a feel for the lag time in the studio, like the little pods there for bringing the volume up and down.
Yeah, if they would give you a 30-second count, you'd be a lot better off at the end. You know?
I think so.
Yeah. They give you a countdown when you start, don't they?
They give it by the minutes, and then they give it to you. Your show will start in 5 seconds?
Right, yes. And in the start, it's every minute, and then with 5 seconds to go, which is kind of, they jump you a little bit. And then coming out, they give you a 90-second and then a one-minute warning. And then that's it. So you got to watch like a hawk. And it's fun, though. I mean, once you do it a few times, it's like, all right. I remember when I was in my late 20s or maybe even my early 30s, I went back to – well, not back to. I never went to college. But I went to Baldwin-Wallace and signed up for a couple classes on broadcasting. I ended up getting a broadcasting license and doing college radio there. And these kids would stress about the news coming up. You had to start like a feeder 10 seconds before the top of the hour and then click onto the news feed. All right. Well, for years I'd been working in bars and nightclubs, and I had a sense of timing stuff. You know, you knew when a song was going to end, if you needed to say something or just mix into a next song or whatever you're doing. And I'm like, well, you know what? So many of these songs have redundant endings. So yep. I'm just going to have way too much time and then just pod the song down and do the 10 seconds. I don't even have to count. It's like a no stress thing. But they'd be sitting there with their little calculators trying to figure out, like, dude, just let it slide. Get in the groove. And, you know?
Yep. Yep.
You know how some songs will have a repetitious ending or whatever, or a long tail out with music. That those you can fudge some time with.
Yep.
And they didn't have you must play this song, you must play that song. The radio station there had a colored dot system. You must play one from this colored dot bin, one from this colored dot bin at this time or at that time. That still gave me the freedom to create, again, you know, enough room to not worry about the news. Good time.
There you go. There you go.
Very nice. I suppose
I wonder.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, CW.
Oh, no, I was just going to say I was thinking Blog Talk actually wants you to be able to count, but that's a lot of work.
It makes my head hurt.
You have to pay more for counting. You have to pay more for counting. Hey, Dale, I wonder if we might want to sneak in that little treat I shared with you before the broadcast.
Yeah, I mentioned it to CW. Well, or did I? No.
And we could use the same disclaimer that she used it for fair use, and of course, no money was made or exchanged for doing this. It was a fair use copyright thing for personal use type of thing. And even YouTube didn't ban it. I'm sure she can't monetize it, but she was able to keep it there. So if you would like to kind of roll off an introduction to it, Dale, being the disc jockey that you are.
Here is a song. No.
Oh wow, that education really showing.
Years of experience. Years and years of experience, right there.
I can't understand how you didn't make a living doing this, Dale.
I don't know. I did for a while. I can't understand how that happened. But I digress. This is the one, the only, the delightful Penny Dreadful, and the Monster Mash.
Yes.
Dave, where's the button?
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from its slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble abodes to catch a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the
Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the Monster Mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five. They played the Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the Monster Mash. Out from his coffin, Drax's voice did ring. Seems he was troubled by just one thing. He opened the lid and shook his fist and said, "Whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the Mash.
It's now the Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the Mash.
It caught on in a flash.
It's now the Mash.
Hmm. It's now the Monster Mash. Now everything's cool. Drax's a part of the band. And my Monster Mash is the hit of the land. For you of the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them Penny sent you.
Then you can mash.
Then you can Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can Monster Mash. Mash good. Easy, Guru, you impetuous young boy.
A very, very sweet nod to the shadow of Guru. How nice.
Yes.
Wonderful. Yep. Yay. Bravo, Penny Dreadful.
Yep.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I have not gotten the opportunity to see the unseen Goulardi bits yet, but I've got to get a load of that. I'm sure it'll be around.
Who had that?
Fox 8.
Who had
8.
That channel? What?
Fox 8? 8. Yeah. So I don't know. But.
Is that available on the internet or?
Well,
they were going to run it on the news locally. I would imagine it's going to surface somewhere.
I'll have to search net for that.
It is the law; they must do it.
It is
nine
the way.
Years ago on Fox 8's website. The most recent thing they have for Goulardi is 9 years ago. Then 8 years ago, 8 years, 2 years ago, wait, 2 years ago, it's going down. Oh, 4 years ago, and 4 years ago, 4 years ago, 3 years ago. Yeah, nothing there unless perhaps it's right just in their, get back to their main page. Yeah, I don't see it there. So if they were going to show it, I don't know what their problem was.
I don't know. Like I said, if it truly exists, it'll surface.
Yep, yep.
This I believe.
Yeah, if it's there, it will get out. Yes.
Yep. So I think my order of progression, if I'm not mistaken, was War of the Worlds first, the George Pal movie, then I read the book, then in junior high, you know, just like you, Dave, we had tapes in our library. So I heard
right.
the Orson Welles broadcast during, like, you know, a study hall or whatever. And that is some fond memories of some classic sci-fi.
It is
yep.
wondrous stuff. It is great.
And
look at how many people's careers were shaped by a love of science fiction, you know, filmmakers, not NASA people, just everything.
Yeah.
It's true. It's really true. Quentin Tarantino used to work at a video store. That's how he said he learned how to direct, watching video.
Yep. I mean, I watched the Sci-Fi Boys again, and it just reminded me of how many people in Hollywood were affected by Ray Harryhausen and Forrest J. Ackerman from the Famous Monsters of Filmland fame. And just, it's amazing how many people would not have, probably not have had their careers if not for a cool magazine like Famous Monsters of Filmland.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay, here you go, Dale. I wanted to share with everyone the Internet Archive link to a rare 4-minute color film clip of the famous Cleveland horror host Ernie Gilardi Anderson on the set of the show. The clip was filmed by WJW8 cameraman John Dominic, and this was given to a gentleman named Bob Keys to preserve and share with Ernie's fans. So that's,
ooh,
I think, what it is. And let me see if this got... let's go stop.
You know I'm going to love this. This is Cleveland history.
Yeah, I'm
here
looking for embedding. I don't want that. Share. Well, maybe share. We'll get that.
Share and share a lot. Sunny
and share. To embed. I don't want to embed. I want to get the daggone link.
Here's the sound.
Darn. Here's the link. Keyboard shortcuts powered by W. What is this? What's this?
Keyboards being the
okay. I'll share this with you, Dale. And CW. I'm going to put this in our group link here.
Oh, cool.
It takes us to the page of the footage that was found. Where's our group?
Don't touch the red button.
Yeah. Not the red button.
Oops.
No.
He touched the red button.
Ooh.
There you go. It is in the group.
Oh, I love it. There's the little It Conquered the World monster. It looks like a cake topping or something, or a candy corn.
Wow.
It does
look
like a candy corn, doesn't it? For Halloween.
I'll get back on the internet.
Well, it'll be there for you. It'll be there for you.
Yay!
When you get there. It's in our group chat, Facebook chat.
Outstanding.
Yep.
Ooh, our secret group.
Oh my God. Oh heavens.
We've ruined her, Dale. We've ruined her.
Yes. We broke another person. Oh no. How will we live with ourselves?
I'd say grab the crazy glue, but that'll just add insult to injury.
But or at least glue to injury, one or the other, you know. all right, kids. Well, I'm about ready to sign off here. If CW would do the honors once again.
Naturally. Knock, 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 knock. Mr. Durante, you're on.
Good night. It's time to say good night.
Let's get over it.
Good night. Good night. What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Maribo, up we the same.
Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.